If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. Would it be fair to say that if you do not keep the commandments of God, it is an indication that you have a lack of love for God? Reasonable statement? If you keep maybe just partially the commandments, or keep the commandments on a off and on basis, you might have a little bit of love, but it's wavering. But if you don't keep them, there's no love there. Okay? Would it be then a good conclusion, a reasonable statement to say, how you act in life is determined by your love for or lack of love for God? You like that statement too? All right, keep that in mind. How I act towards people, how I act towards God himself is reflected in how I love or don't love that person and ultimately God. Keep that in mind. Ruth chapter 4. When we ended last week, Ruth has made herself known to Boaz that she desires to be his wife. And he says he's willing to take her, to redeem her, but there's one closer that has the first option on her and the property. And he says, I'm going to take care of it right away. When we come to chapter 4, we're only possibly minutes, no more than a couple of hours after the end of chapter 3. Chapter 4 begins this way. Then went Boaz up to the gate, sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. I find this interesting. Let me stop here for a moment. I find this interesting that this kinsman, according to the way this is written here, just happened to be passing by. It doesn't say that he was on a mission or anything like that. It just, the way it reads, he just happened to be passing by. Do you think God was exercising his providence in all of this? Is this maybe just a little bit more than coincidence that he would happen to be there at the gate of the city on this particular day? I kind of think so. So he says to him, I want you to sit down here, which indicates that he has some business to discuss with him. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit you down here. And they sat down. So this is going to be not only a business transaction, but a legal transaction that's going to take place. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, sounds like a deal. Now, what you do is motivated by your love or lack of love for something or someone. Why was this person willing to redeem this piece of property? Now understand what's going on. Here's Naomi. She's come back. She has no one to provide income for her. All she has is her property. So basically what she is going to do is to sell the property to somebody, a kinsman redeemer, who will give her a lump sum of money for the property that she can live off of the rest of her life. And she can still stay in the house on that property until she dies. At that point, then the whole thing becomes the new owner. She can use it in the meantime to plant crops and so forth, but it's his at that point in time. And he says, that's a bargain. I will buy that property because all I am doing is exchanging money for a piece of property. The piece of property is not going to lose its value. It'll always be worth what I paid for it. That's a good thing. I'll have that property. I'll have more wealth for myself. Good thing. I'm willing to redeem it. What was his motivation? What was his love? Wealth, money, assets. He wasn't interested so much in Naomi. And notice, he didn't say Ruth here. He said Naomi has a parcel of ground. That was our brother Elimelech's. He's not here anymore. She's up there in age. We don't know how long she's going to be around. Probably not a whole lot longer. Here's a good investment for you. And consequently, he says, I'll buy it. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. It's a twofer. Not only do you get the property, you get a wife in the bargain. Ruth, the Moabitess, goes with it. And according to the law of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 5 and following, it will be your responsibility to raise up children from her to pass that inheritance on to them. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Wait a minute, hold the bus. Why not? You just said you had the financial resources to do this. You could buy the property. That's not the problem. Why then won't you do it now? Lest I mar mine own inheritance. How is that going to mar your inheritance? Well, more than likely he had a son that his property was going to be passed down to. This property is going to be passed down. He's now going to be short the whatever money he used to buy this piece of property. Instead of exchanging one for one, he is now exchanging one and getting nothing back, ultimately, from it. He's going to have to give this property away in time. Why can he not do it? A love of money. Now, there might be one other factor here. It says in verse 5, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess. We don't like Moabites. Those people are kind of our enemies. And I don't want to be stuck with a Moabite woman. I have no love for her. Now this was the manner, verse 7, in former time in Israel, concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. The symbolism here goes back to what God told Abraham. He said, I'm going to take you into a land that's promised. And wherever you walk through the land, that land is going to be yours. Well, wherever the sole of your foot touches, that's your property. For the person to take off their shoe is saying, here's my right to walk through this property. I am giving you my shoe. Therefore, it is now your right to walk through this property. The property becomes yours. That's the symbolism that's behind it. So he says, here it is. A legal transaction has just taken place. Why would Boaz want to take Ruth as his wife? Was there a romantic love for her? Maybe, but nowhere do we read that it says that he loved her. He was gracious to her. He was benevolent to her. But doesn't say there was any type of romantic interest that was there. She's still a Moabitess woman. That hasn't changed. We don't know what she looked like. And I don't say this to be carnal or anything, but oftentimes the romantic interest is based upon a visual desire for one. We don't know if that's the case. He did say, we know you're a virtuous woman. That's a good thing. But when we think about the dollars and cents of this thing, he's going to be in the same boat as the other near kinsman. Now, we don't know that he had any wife or children at this time, but he's going to be giving it all away. What was it that he loved? Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Boaz had a love for the commandments of God. We find that here where he allowed his people to leave the edges of the field for Ruth to come by and glean after the reapers had gone through. That was in the law. He didn't have to do that as far as a civil obedience. He did it out of obedience to the will of God. He had a love for the commandments of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. The brother, Deuteronomy 25, dies. The next kinsman is supposed to marry her and raise up children. And he said, that's what I'm going to do. Verse 9, and Boaz said unto the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day. Nowhere does he say, I love her. But everywhere he says, I love thy law. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into mine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. Interesting blessing that they give here. We want you to be like Rachel and Leah. What was it about Rachel and Leah? They were both married to Jacob. How well did they get along with each other in that marriage relationship? What were they doing all the time? Competition for what?
For Jacob's attention.
Attention and his love. His love. Constantly. Love me, love me, love me. We want you to be like them who, when Jacob did love them, they became productive. And we want you to be productive. We want you to be prosperous. They built the house of Israel between them and their concubines. You have the 12 sons that were the 12 tribes of Israel. We want you to be like them. We want you also to do worthily where we live. We want you you are a righteous person. We want to see that righteousness continue in you, and consequently, because of that, be famous in Bethlehem. That wasn't his motivation to do this, but it's a nice consequence of it. We want you to set an example by righteous living that will inspire others to do the same thing. That you will be a testimony here for all time of this is how people should act. There's a second blessing, verse 12. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Go back to the book of Genesis. Judah had a couple of sons. The one married Tamar. He was a wicked person and God struck him dead. So the other son, according to the rules of the levirate marriage, was supposed to go in to Tamar, raise up offspring to pass the land along. And he said, nah, I can't do this. And the Lord struck him dead. Tamar said, well, Judah, you got a third son, but he's kind of just a little guy. He's not grown up yet. Judah says to her, I'll tell you what, you go back to your father's house and you wait there till he grows up and then you can have him. All the while, Judah really wasn't interested in giving his son away. He really didn't want Tamar. Well, time goes by, and when Tamar figures out that, you know, she's been hoodwinked, she recognizes that, or she's been told that Judah is coming to shear the sheep, and she puts on clothing and she goes out and makes herself look like a prostitute. And Judah succumbs to her temptation. And she conceives two children. There's a struggle to who's going to be coming out first, and it ends up that Pharaoh is the firstborn, although the brother sticks his hand out first, if you remember the story there. He says, I want you to be like the house of Pharaoh. So now we're going back in history. Pharaoh became the father of Esram. Esram became the father of Aram. I should have you read these names. Aram became the father of Abinadab. Abinadab became the father of Naasson. Naasson became the father of Salmon, who married Rahab the harlot. What a wonderful lineage we've got going on here. We've got Judah, who is committing adultery with Tamar, who's acting like a prostitute. And on down through Salmon, who's marrying a former prostitute. And they had a son, and his name was Boaz. Boaz, do you recognize what your family tree is like? And out of all the corruption that's in there, God has brought you forth a righteous person. You know firsthand how you can have a Moabitess-like woman who was actually kind of like your mother, and how that can turn out for good. Well, here's Ruth, and by the right input, she can be like that. And consequently, when you have a son, he will continue on in the line here. The Lord shall give thee the seed of which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. They had a son. His name was Jesse, who had a couple of sons. One of them was a guy by the name of David. You may have heard of him. Began the lineage, the kingly lineage of the nation of Israel. Why? Because one man loved the Lord, kept his commandments. Simple as that. If you love me, keep my commandments. But Lord, she's a Moabitess. She's got a pimple right here. She's not nice to look at. She's the person I put in your life to create a son who will be the father of the Davidic line through which your Messiah will come. I wonder what would happen we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength, and kept His commandments all the time. I wonder if He might just do great things through us. You think? Amen. Let's pray. Father, may we be encouraged by the example of Boaz, who for no particularly good reason, humanly speaking, was obedient to the commandments of God, and consequently was blessed beyond description, that we might act out of a love for You in the same way that He did, and be used for You in the same way of blessing this world with righteousness and prosperity. For the glory of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.